Welcome to Kingdom Faith London podcast. We pray that as you listen to the word of God, you will be built up, encouraged, inspired, that it will speak right into your situation as you listen.
But first of all, I've got to apologize that I'm not wearing a white suit. I know that several of you wanted me to wear a white suit today after my trip to Ghana on Easter Day in particular, which is a week obviously yesterday, today. Quite a lot of men and actually ladies wore dresses, white dresses, because it was Easter Day and the resurrection and the life. And so all of these men had these white suits on and the ladies had the white dresses on. And Helena told me I couldn't buy one. So guys, that you really wanted me to wear a white suit, sorry, no can do. But there was another guy who had a red suit on. And I thought that would be fantastic for me. And my daughter said, that would be okay, but not for you. Somebody like Mikey could help pull it off, because he's swag, as the word came on. Swag. Was it swag? Suave, swag, suave. But it was, my daughter said swag, so I don't know. Could we have a couple of clips, just so that you can get a gist of what was going on? That's a handsome young guy. That was at Holy Hills Chapel. I was there and ministered on the Wednesday night. There was a convention that was going on. There were several hundred people here. And it was called Blood and Power. That was the conference, Blood and Power Conference. And I had the privilege of speaking on the Wednesday night. Pastor Eric, who I went with, he was speaking on Friday because I was somewhere else speaking. But that's first. Again, that's just me with my Royal Marine tie on. So not white suit, but Royal Marine tie. But I like that. God will answer all our questions by showing us his son, Jesus Christ. That was what I was preaching on anyway, so it was good. Look at that. Do you like the hat? Do you like the hat? I was on the Saturday afternoon. There's a Bible college there in Holy Hills Chapel. And there was about 34 students who were graduating. And we had the privilege of speaking at that event and also handing out some of the certificates. But we didn't realize that we were going to have to get dressed up. And it was only about 2 minutes before the actual students walked in that we were beckoned out. And I had to put on that. Sorry? Over my suit. So it was very, very hot. It's about 31, 32 degrees out there. So it was very, very hot. I had to wear it. And I think I look good. But do you see the band? They obviously are dressed up really nicely. So I think, guys, we just need to have a uniform for the band. You know, the red tie, the black suit. But one of the things that you do see in this place is that every time that they come together, they're always wearing something different. It may be that they're wearing the same similar suit, but it'll be a different tie color. And it's all coordinated. And it's amazing to see. It really is. Just another one of all of us dressed up. Mr. Cool here with the glasses on. But no, look at me. It's quite stern, aren't I, there? Stern looking. But they're doing a lot of building. In Ghana, they're doing quite a lot of building work, large, big churches. And so they've got a tent. This is a marquee. And they put it in their grounds. And they've got a building work and project just around the corner. But that's that one. This is another church called Power Church, and this is about 11 o'clock at night, and we started at 10. There was about 300-400 people there, and they were going to their I finished around 12, 15. And after that, what was happening was that they were going to be praying all night. And this particular church wants us to go back to go and do a leaders conference with 300-400 leaders. Whether I'll do that, that will be up to God. But I just love the fervor, because I'm leaving at 12:15 because I needed my bed. I was actually going and preaching at 9 o'clock the following morning, so I have got an excuse. But these guys, there was Tuesday night all night, Wednesday night all night, Thursday night all night, Friday night all night. That's what they do, because they are so passionate to see the things of God to come through. But that was the power. Then that's another church. That was Good Friday. That's an Assemblies of God church. Again, you see the wonderful colours of the ladies. And there's another group. You can't see them, but they're under that sort of area, and they're they're wearing a different coloured dress. But all of these are probably the over 50s. And there was a lady sitting on there. She's 70 years old. And every time the music was playing, she was up the front dancing. And that lady, I actually mentioned something to her during the preach, but she was 70 years old, but her fervor for God was incredible. And I loved that. That was the AOG church on Good Friday. This is a chapel called Action Chapel. The leader of this church is a person called Duncan Williams. This particular auditorium seats 8,000 people. Okay? And they have 4 services every Sunday. So that was something quite impressive to go to. As you can see, the pulpit, they've got gates on. Quite interesting. It's obviously very different from what we would do in our culture. But obviously they see that podium quite as a place where the Word of God is brought. And as I say, we had the privilege of going around it and having a little look. And just one more. They call the open hands. This used to be a praying hand, and they changed it from a praying hand to an open hand because they just want to receive God's blessings again and again and again in their lives. But this is the place where there was 8,000 people, an auditorium, 8,000 people. They've got a complex around the side. They've got a university here with 1,000 students. They have a restaurant that anybody can go to, but it's a really nice restaurant. And Benson Idahosa was a gentleman back in the 80s from Nigeria. And the church in Ghana see that the Pentecostal and the charismatic roots have come from him. But one of the things that I found quite interesting is that wherever I went that had links with Benson Idahosa, they all wanted to know, because I was Kingdom Faith, they all wanted to know about Pastor Colin Urquhart. And they said that when Benson was traveling around Africa, at that time, 80s, early 90s, before he passed away, he was talking about you need to read Pastor Colin's books. And so when they knew that I was from Kingdom Faith, and they have a language in Ghana where everybody's a bishop or archbishop, a prophet, in one of the posters, I've got a big billboard, and I'm called the prophet. I don't know where they got that from. And in other places, I'm called all sorts of other names, and positive names, honestly. But, you know, they're into their titles. They really are. And it's just really, really interesting to try and get a head on who is what. And they call them spiritual sons or fathers of the Lord. And so when I said my spiritual father was Pastor Colin Urquhart, it was like, we read his books. because of Bencinita Hossa. So it felt a little bit like home, and it's like a connection that I believe God gave us. And there's a number of other positive things there. Now, before I do that, I need to go back because I just wanted a little bit from Ghana. One of the things that I realized from Ghana, the time in Ghana, is that 60% of the nation, the population, go to church. I believe the numbers are slightly decreasing a little bit, but we're talking around 60% are churchgoers. One of the things that they are looking for, generally, is that they're looking for the reality of the gospel at work. It's very much events. It's not really a discipleship culture. And obviously for me, it's seeing the power of God, but within that loving context of family. But in Ghana, it is very much events. And one of the things that I do like about these events, the things that they put on, is the expectation of the supernatural is very, very high. And in part, some of the big churches are where you see the miracles, the greatest miracles, because the people of Ghana, even though potentially there's not a real discipleship culture, there may not be a real depth of relationship with God, what they're looking for is the proof that God exists. And so therefore, they're looking for the miracle, they're looking for the signs, they're looking for things to happen as a result of asking God, the prayer to be answered. And that's why they are fervent in prayer. I mean, you know, I know the number of you understand what praying aloud is. And it's like everybody together, hundreds of people praying loudly together. That's a sound that I believe adds something that we've heard ourselves. But I believe that God wants to bring that sound again where there is a real fervency, and that's why I've actually put this on. This is not Ghana. This was yesterday in South Africa. In Bloemfontein, there was a call to pray for the nation of South Africa. And they estimate that over 1 million people came together yesterday to pray for the nation of South Africa. And I just love that. And I'm going to leave that on there for a little while because I just want you to grasp how prayer does change things. And there's a million people, obviously, in the context of the whole place. There's a million plus people praying for that nation. In Ghana, people are praying all the night, overnight. There's an intensity in prayer that they believe that when they pray, they're going to see something happen. They're very much into sowing seed. And the sowing seed, and I'm pleased we've taken our offering, so this is not about money. But for them, they you know, if you say something really, really good in your message, then you'll find somebody walking up down the aisle and they'll put money on the, you know, the not pulpit. That's it, yeah. But anyway, the altar. And it's like they're sowing seed. And they're encouraged to do that. And please, I'm not saying that we can buy blessing because I don't believe that that's biblical. But I do believe that there is a principle of sowing and reaping. And remember when Pastor Colin came here in November, he talked about sowing our lives because what we reap, so we reap. And it's the same, you know, if we're sowing time, I believe that we will, in a sense, God will give us supernatural time back. He will help us use our 24 hours a day in a more productive way when we sow him that first fruit of our life. And it's all of these things that I believe that the Ghanaian church, in many, many ways, it's quite exciting to be part of a prayer meeting with the sound that comes from a group of people who are really praying, believing that something will happen. I believe this million people in South Africa, they came together for a single purpose, and that was to pray for the nation of South Africa. Now, we've had in London, about 3 years ago in Wembley, we had about 40, 50,000 people praying for United Kingdom. And it was completely across the board, different denominations came and took over Wembley, and that was a great event. We've got obviously an election now coming up on the 8th. And I do have a photograph of the three people. Now, again, I'm not talking about being political here. Obviously, he is an evangelical Christian, and her father was an Anglican vicar. And people do say that she is a believer in Jesus Christ. Again, please, I'm not saying who to vote for, but I am saying what we need to do, like we did, that we see there, is that we have a situation where 1 million people, would we ever get 1 million people here to pray to a prayer meeting? Because that's what this effectively was. This is a prayer meeting for a nation. And again, I'm not here to say whether Brexit or Remain, I'm not in those things, but I do believe that the power of prayer is very, very effective. But it says in the scripture, the fervent prayer of the righteous. And one of the things that I saw in Ghana was a fervency in those prayer types. And it was great in the Holy Hills Chapel. And I say about the Holy Hills Chapel because they are the ones that invited me over. And then it was the Holy Hills Chapel that arranged three or four different other churches to go and speak into. And, you know, in Holy Hills Chapel, one of the things that they do in every single meeting, before every single meeting, they give the first about half an hour. So it starts at 6 o'clock. And to be honest, for the Holy Hills Chapel, it's the first ever African church I've known start on time. It's incredible. I mean, normally it's, you know, you say 9 o'clock and it's 10, 10:15 before you actually even get on. But this particular church started at 6, and it actually did start at 6. But it started in prayer. For the first 20 minutes, half an hour, they had about 7 or 8 people. They came and, in a sense, they were given a 5-minute slot. And the first thing was to thank God for the church leaders. They're into that big time. The father and the mother, they call them. And it's quite interesting. The language is quite interesting. But once you get through that, you can actually see that there's a real honor in those places. But there's 7 different people, and each one of them had a scripture. And then they had a declaration. It was like a, you know, it was a declaring something over a particular part of the church. For instance, salvation. That somebody came with a scripture, and then everybody spoke out this declaration. And then for the last 2 minutes, around the last 2 minutes, what then began to happen was everybody was encouraged to really begin to pray out in the spirit in a powerful way. And then somebody else came in and did exactly the same. And there was these 7 different people, around 6, 7 people, every single meeting just dealing with these decrees. Speaking the word over a particular situation. Another one was the supernatural, that they were wanting to see the supernatural. Another one was to see God's provision in businesses, in everyday life, and being successful. And it was just interesting to see how they saw how the power of declaration prayer has a huge effect. And they did it every meeting. And sometimes I went into some of these meetings just for half an hour before I was whisked away to another church half an hour away. And every meeting they had these different decrees. Around the same themes, but every meeting they were convinced and they believe that these things will be happening in their churches. And we had an outreach. There was an outreach that they did in a particular field on Easter Sunday. And in Holly Hills Chapel, there's a spirit of excellence on that place. There really is in everything that they were doing. And there was the rap, there was dance, there was drama, there was different performances, and then obviously the gospel message. But, you know, the way that they embraced everybody on the stage, it was just like they were cheering and the pastor was dancing, and I'll give a demonstration later. Not in the white suit, sorry, it's not in the white suit. But it's a demonstration, and that's what I got really hold of, is that there was an expectancy of seeing God move. And when you got 60% looking and expecting, okay, where's the churches where there is reality of the gospel message at work? Because that's what they're looking for. They're looking to see where, okay, is God here? Is God here? Is God in real, where it's touchable? It's not just word, but you can touch and reach out to something that's real, something tangible, something that I can say, something has affected my life today. Because I've been in that meeting or that event and something's happened. Now, I had some great conversations with some of these guys who were in some of these big churches. I didn't minister at the 8,000-seater place. That would have been interesting. But I managed to have another gentleman from another church who's about 15 minutes away from the big one. And he has a 5,000-seater. And that's not bad. And I had about an hour with this gentleman, and it was just really interesting because we agreed that in one sense that there was not really a deep discipleship culture within Ghana, but we also agreed that it's better for somebody to come and sort of like be in the shallows for a while, going from one event to another, because for him, he says that at some point he believes that God's going to get hold of them. And so it's far better for them to be in an environment of faith than not be in an environment of faith. It's better for a person to, in Ghana, obviously, there is a lot of charisma, okay? By that, I mean that there are some men of God whose charisma, their personality is very big. It's very big. And to be honest, we've got people who will be following the person. And if that person moved on, then the church would either disband or they would go elsewhere, or they would follow that particular person because that charisma is very, very real. But they believe also that at some point on that journey, the faith is that that person will have then an encounter with God, so that it's not then through a person, but directly with the Lord. And it was just an interesting conversation that we had, because at the end of the day, our encouragement for every single one of you is that you have a personal relationship with God. My question to some of these leaders in the church in Ghana was sort of saying, how many people out of this 60% would be opening the Bible every day and praying individually every day? And obviously, they sort of saying it, that would be mixed. And possibly it would be a lot lower than the 60%, wouldn't it? I mean, we've got a couple of people from Ghana here. But in one sense, his heart was, but surely it's better for them to be attending a place where the presence and the power of God is present and at work than not at all. Now, we're here at Kingdom Faith London. My heart cry is to see the power of God at work every time we come together. Does that mean healings, miracles, if that's what's needed? I believe that God is the same God today as he always has been. I believe that each and every one of us, and this was a scripture that came to me in Ghana, he said that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in you. Do you get that? The same power, it says in Scripture, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now lives in each and every one of you. I think that's awesome. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
And for me, and pointing at myself here, I'm wanting that to have real effect in every single area of my life, so that that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead,
yes,
is there in every situation. When our bill comes through the door, when I'm going and meeting somebody, when I've got neighbors that I'm engaging with, in every situation, Lord, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now lives in me. So, Lord, how do you want your power to be seen in this particular situation? And in your lives, in your worlds, you can say, okay, Lord, how does that look to me? How does that affect me? If that same power is at work in my life, what does that look like for me? That's what, for me, that revelation that, or not, that truth that hit me in a fresh way last week. You know, that I need to say, God, what are you going to do in my life for this? And I want you to be asking the same questions too. What are you going to do? What are we going to do to demonstrate and see that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead at work in our lives? That's why I want to see some of these long-standing sicknesses that we have here in Kingdom Faith Church. I want to see broken. Not because it's for God's glory. I believe he wants to do these things. But it's only going to be for me, a group of people who are longing for God. And one of the things that you see is there's a longing for God in Ghana. And it may be only a small percentage that are really hungering and thirsting and every day taking the word, the bread of life, and then drinking of the cup. But you know, one of the things that we've done today is communion. And on one of the nights, I think it was, I can't remember if it's the Thursday or the Friday. And what was being said then was that there was another gentleman speaking, and he just talked about there's life in the blood. That when your body, if your body drains of blood, then it would cease to function. But when we take communion, when we recognize Jesus Christ, there's life in the blood. That everything you need for your life, and obviously there's all other organs and things like that, but the blood running through your body gives nourishment, it feeds the body, and all of those things. There's life in the blood. And if we allow the life of Jesus Christ to come and again come round every organ and tissue, and we believe that the same power of God is at work in our lives as it was when God raised Jesus from the dead, that life that is flowing in and through us, that's amazing. Because actually, if I've got a bad leg, you know, Jesus wants to come and heal and touch your leg by allowing that flow of his life. There's life in the blood. His blood brings life. And I speak that health over you, that knee, to be restored to normality, that the swelling to go down, the pain to go, in Jesus' name. We want a reality of these things. And I want to hear testimony, because I don't want these to be just words that we say. Whoever's up here, whether it's you guys who are praying for one another, I want to see the demonstration of that lifeblood at work in our lives, and the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead at work in you and me. Now, of course, this is not just about a physical thing. It can be a mental. Some people who are stressed, other people who, you know, who have financial provision. When we look at the word of God, if God knows the number of the hairs on the head, he knows the sparrows that fall to the ground. God knows everything about us. And he wants us to put that trust in him. And when we actually do take communion, when we take the bread and the wine, that we understand the power that that symbolizes, the lifeblood. I mean, we've got a couple of nurses here, and you would understand, and you could probably come and explain what that blood, you know, signifies. If I and Helena, because we've just moved into London in November, we've had to change our surgery, doctor's surgery. And I had to have a blood test because that's what they wanted to do, because I was a new person and I haven't had a blood test for many, many years. But when they took the samples, in those samples, they could tell so many things, can't they, through a blood sample. They can check for disease, they can check for illness, they can check for all sorts of different things through a small sample of blood. Now, if we understand that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ now flows in and through us because we've accepted Jesus Christ, his blood is perfect. His blood is perfect. And what he wants is for his blood to be at work in our lives so that actually it's sustaining life in the way that he wants us to see that life of the blood coming into our minds and our brains so that it activates everything that God wants us to activate for the things that he wants us to activate them for. Teaching at school, you know, working in government offices, working in a building firm, working in on computers and websites, working in as a nurse and doctor, you know, and nurses and drivers and masseurs, you know, working at Sky, musicians. All of these things, God is wanting the lifeblood to be at work in each and every one of us so that he gives to us through that life everything that we need for us to fulfill the purposes of God. There's just a couple of scriptures that our plans at the moment are daily reading as a church in Horsham Church, in London, Crawley, Worthing. We're going through the same Bible reading plans, and it just struck me, two verses just jumped out at me. And I just believe that we need to hear this for ourselves. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God. So command of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. God's commanded you to be a person who fulfills his purpose for your life. It's a command. Now, some of us need to understand what that purpose looks like. But as we've said in this church before, there's two commands that we already can get on with. Whether we know our purpose or not, there is two commands that every single one of us can continue to do until God unfolds his perfect plan for our lives. One is to love God with a passion. Love God with all of our hearts, mind, soul, spirit, and strength. And then the other one is to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Every single one of us can start to do that, those two commands, without understanding anything else about the greater, bigger purpose for us as individuals. We can get on and do those two things. Amen. And in our journeying with those things, then God can begin to unfold what those things begin to look like in a greater way. One of the things that I see about the Ghanaian church is there's such a spirit of generosity there, that they are such a generous people, and they're giving out of what they have. Some have more than others. But I'm not just talking about finance here. I'm talking about time, energy, effort. The pastor sometimes was there until 12 o'clock at night. And there was still a group of people wanting to make sure that he got to the car okay. And he was, he was blessed on his way home. And then everybody else could go home. Why? Because it was just something part of their culture. And I'm not asking you to do anything like that. But there was part of a generosity in the way that they served God in what was put before them. But I do believe that there's two things here that I could go around and put every single one of your names in this place. Helena, by the command of our God, our Savior, as pastor, as lady, ladies ministry, that vision that you've got to fulfill that call to the voiceless, the voice to the voiceless. That's still there. It's a command. And then if we read 2 Timothy, by the will of God. Because we know the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And each one of you, we can go and put our names in there. And it may be that we need to put the where the apostle bit is. We may know what that looks like. It may be teacher. It may be musician, worshipper. And it may be several things, but it's by the command of God and it's his will. And that's for every single person who believes in that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. There's a command that we are, that it's his command and it's according to his will. Why? Because he wants us to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And the will of God is for you and for me to fulfill our purpose while we're on this earth. So a little bit of homework. I want you to write out 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, with your name in it. And as I say, if you need to leave it blank at the moment and then begin to ask God, what does that look like for me? Because it says, obviously, Paul, an apostle by the command of God. Paul, an apostle by the will of God. But one of the things that I believe that this crowd, this 1 million plus people, were praying on Saturday, Bloemfontein, South Africa, yesterday, was thy will be done. Thy will be done. And again, the will bit. And my prayer for every single person, visitor or people who see this as their church, that God's will, God's plan, God's purpose, God's agenda will be done in each and every one of your lives to fulfill his purpose. What he has commanded over our lives, the destinies, that purpose. Each one of you has that plan and purpose. It's a destiny. And obviously, Helena and I believe God's brought us here to help understand for some of you what that purpose looks like. But you can still love God and you can still love others in that same way, even before you can get to the bigger pictures. Sometimes of our lives. There's nothing stopping you from fulfilling those two commands. Remember, the commands. They're not, if you feel like it. They're commands. But I wanted to show this because it moves me. Where a gentleman called Buchanan, I can't remember his first name, Angus Buchanan. He saw some miracles in his fields. He was a farmer, and he saw some miracles where people said, "You will never get potatoes from that field." God gave him an abundant harvest, and he, through that book, and his name has got bigger and bigger, along with the call. Those two organizations, I believe, put on this event. And I believe, because this is something that just came up on my feed yesterday, my Facebook feed. And I just love it because it, for me, it shows a hunger for the things of God. Because I believe this million ping people and Angus Buchanan, his lie will be done. And, you know, in every area of our lives, when we get to a situation tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, I believe it will be good for us to, in a sense, when we get to a situation and circumstance, even before we get to a meeting or, you know, an engagement in business or work or what we're ever doing, lie will be done here, Lord. Thy will be done. Your purpose, Father, fulfilled in this situation. And even if you're tight, you know, you're texting somebody or you're phoning somebody, thy will be done. Let the words that I speak, thy will be done. Why? Because we want it to be life-giving. Because if God's given us his life and he's given us that blood of Jesus Christ that is life-giving in every part of our lives, thy will be done. So if somebody comes in front into your world this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, who maybe have a headache or a pain in the back, it's like, okay, Lord, thy will be done. What do you want me to do here? And it's, again, it's not something that suddenly you've got to get into a prayer meeting for half an hour and begin to pray, but it says, Lord, I just want to, you know, may I pray for you? And it sometimes it may be God sort of saying, look, put a hand on the shoulder, because it's weird when you put it on the head if somebody's not a believer. But sometimes it's just like, Lord, you know, I believe in prayer and I'll be praying that God will heal you. Because I want to see this real. God's real. And I believe that God, who is the miracle-working God, is still very much alive today and wants to see so that we have our own stories. I want to hear your stories of what God has done in your life and through your life. And I believe that over a period of time, all of us, including myself and Helena, will have more stories to tell of what God has done in fulfilling his kingdom purpose here in London. Stories. Why? Because God lives in you is the same way as he lives in me. Now, obviously, we need to do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. And each and every day, we need to be asking the Holy Spirit to come and fill us so that we're not running on empty, but we're running filled. Now, we've got a London Marathon today. And if you ran 26 point whatever miles without a drink of water, do you think you'd make it? Do you think you'd make it around the course without a little bit of water at some point during that 26 point whatever miles. God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us run the race that he has for each and every one of us on. Before a marathon, you have to eat the right food so that your body digests it, not quickly, but slowly, so that it gives you the energy to be able to run the marathon. And we know in Timothy, it talks about the race that we are running, that each and every one of us is on, that God wants us to ensure that each and every one of us finishes the race and we finish it well. And I, for one, don't want to finish this race on my knees. I want to finish it well. But I know that the only way I can finish it well is to do it God's way and run the race God's way. But part of God's way is to make sure that I have the right sustenance going in. And every day I come for that refreshing. And even during the day, I come and have a Holy Spirit come and refresh me. Pour your spirit out in me afresh. Now, I've got this third one because I do believe we need to pray for these people, just like they prayed for South Africa. I believe that we need to pray for this coming election. Not in, we want this party or we want that party in, or we don't want that person in, or whatever. But I want, you know, God's purpose to be fulfilled so that our nation is ripe for a move of God. Now, what that looks like and what that means, I know that certain nations are heavily persecuted and the church is thriving. When a nation seems to be quite comfortable then in one sense they don't need God. There was a lady who whose husband lost a job, and they were in quite a big house. And this was a number of years ago, and Helena was dropping our girls off at school. And when this situation arose, this lady went to Helena and she was in tears. What's going to happen? Are we going to lose our house? You know, all the good things that we have material wise. And in one sense, in that opportunity, that window, Helena was able to talk about God, the Lord Jesus Christ, everything. And it was like she was ready to come to the church, but then her husband got another job and the finances were there restored. And immediately the friendship was still there, but her desperation and her need to hear something of truth and the reality of who God is was not so important in her life anymore. And so the order and the priority got a little bit shifted around. And it's like that. Sometimes in a nation, when we're comfortable, the God element is not so passionate. And even some people in the churches are not as passionate, and we're not there and seeking God for the manifestation of the supernatural. God is a supernatural God. That's why I'm talking about healing and all of these things today, because I want to see the evidence of these things. I do. I'm hungry to see these things. Why? Because he's the same God. But I want to hear the testimony too, because I could have words of knowledge, but if then we don't hear what has happened as a result of that, people say, did it or didn't it happen? And I want reality. And if something doesn't happen, then okay, we'll continue to pray until something does happen and something does shift. I have no problem with that. You know, yeah, I believe if Jesus literally, physically came into this room, things would happen in a very, very different way than if it was me. But I want to get to a place where something is God gripped a grip of me in a different way, a new way, where my faith is activated in a completely different spiritual level, so that actually our expectation together is that, wow, God's here, and therefore let's see his demonstration. Let's see things happen. Let's see, you know, jobs, you know, where somebody's struggling with a job. Let's see that position change. Let's see a family member saved. We have, you know, Belle's father, her dad, going through cancer treatment at this moment in time. We need to see that cancer out of that body. In Jesus' name. We do. He's a minister in the Anglican Church. And he's going through a second lot of chemo at the moment, taking stem cells out of his body, and they've put it back in. And it's an interesting procedure. But we need to see God touch his life. And I believe God can. I believe actually he will. In this particular situation, because he's shown me something about him. And I've told him, because I'm in touch with him as well. Why? Because Belle's part of the family, and therefore I wanted to make sure that her family, the bigger part of her natural family, that he's been. So I've gone to see him in Guildford. Because these things are important, because it was important to Belle. So, you know, I'm looking for reality. And obviously Ghana was a mixture. A fervency, a prayer. The understanding that God is a God of supernatural, and therefore there's an expectation of the supernatural. And I believe God does want us to have a bigger picture of who he is. That understanding. And that's why I played that first clip, where you can actually understand that, oh God, you're an amazing God. You're a big God. You can change things around. Where we think, oh, this is impossible. Now this situation, it seems to be immovable object. There's nothing immovable in God. Nothing. But we need to begin to see how God sees some of these things. Rather than seeing through our natural eye, we've got to see how God sees. Now, obviously, you would all have a probably opinion on one of those characters. And again, I'm not asking you to verbalize those things, but I am asking you that this is something that we need to pray about. And we need to begin to say, God, thy will be done in this situation. With all the negotiations regarding Brexit, we need to be saying, God, how do you want me to pray for this? Because I want to make sure that I'm praying in alignment with your plans and purposes. I personally have voted a particular way for most of my life, but at the end of the day, I'm saying, God, if you want me to vote in a particular way, this election, you know, show me. Because if it is a believer, a Christian who, you know, maybe on a different party than myself, but he or she is a real believer in Jesus Christ, then maybe God wants me to vote for that person. And I need to be open for these things, even though maybe it's not my color. You understand? And again, you know, we will never ever tell you who to vote for in this church. We won't, because that's a decision that you have to make before God. But what I am saying that we need to be people who pray. And when we pray, we've gone, Lord, thy will be done in this situation. And in my ward, in the person that, you know, the 3, 4, 5, 6 candidates in front of me on my ballot paper, Lord, what do you want me to do? Thy will be done. Why? Because we want to make sure that the right openings and what God is wanting to do comes into alignment so that the greater plan that he has for our nation will come to pass. Let's please stand. I apologize that I've gone a bit over, but I just want you to look at... Oh, it's gone. No, it's okay, don't worry. That picture, I just want you to close your eyes and just think of that picture of a million people. Just fields of people who are all coming together for one single act, and that's to pray for that nation. And I think, you know, sometimes I think we forget to pray for Great Britain and the bigger scene. Sometimes we're concentrating when we pray on our immediate world. And I just believe that we need to look at the bigger picture initially. Say, Father, I just ask you that you will just place on my heart, Father, the need to pray for our nation. At this time where decisions are being made in Brexit and, oh Lord, in this country, in Scotland as well. Father, Lord, concerning who is going to represent us in Westminster. Father, I ask you that you will open my eyes and my ears to hear what you want to say so that you can enable me to pray in the way that you want me to pray about all of these major decisions concerning our country. Father, we know that you are wanting to bring a move of God in a fresh and powerful way into our country again. And Lord, we know that that's going to be through prayer and through the power of your Holy Spirit. So Father, I ask you that you will just teach each and every one of us in this bigger picture, Father, how we get hold of you and how we pray truth into these situations and circumstances. And Father, I just pray that right across the country, Father, there will be some surprises of people who are chosen candidates, some people who've been voted in, and some even people who've been voted out. Father, Lord, to try and get your people in key positions. So Father, I pray for believers on every party that are standing for election. And Lord, if it's thy will, then please, Father, get them into a place where they are elected so that they can be influential right at the heart of government. Father, Lord, we are amazed at that 1 million plus coming together to pray for South Africa. And Lord, there's over 1 million believers in this country And Lord, I just ask you that you will stir our hearts to begin to pray for a divine intervention in our nation and our nations. Lord, that we will see a real move of God that is totally genuine, built on the Word of God, that is the foundation of everything that you are wanting to build. So, Father, I ask you that you will just show us, teach us these things. And Lord, I just pray that as we, Father, do our little bit of homework, Father, as we put our names, Father, Lord, in that place, Paul, an apostle by the command of God, Paul, an apostle by the will of God. Father, that as we just put our names in those passages, Father, Lord, that you will just begin to unfold your plan and purpose for our lives. So that for each and every one of us who is in this marathon race, Father, Lord, that you will give us the right things to sustain our bodies. And Father, I just pray that we will take on the right liquids, the fruit of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to run this race well. So, Father, I ask you that you, over this coming week, will help every single one of us begin to understand what your great and awesome purposes are for our lives as we journey together, as we run this race together. Yes, we are a bunch of individuals, but Father, Lord, when we come together, Father, Lord, we just know that you have something powerful and significant that you're wanting to do amongst us. So, Father, I ask you, in the power and in the name of Jesus, that you will come and place your Holy Spirit afresh upon each and every one of us. So that if we feel that we're running on empty, fill us over to overflowing, Lord. Because we want to live the overflowing life. So, Father, I just pray a blessing upon each and every person here. And, Lord, I pray for a refreshing of your Spirit to rest upon each and every one of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. You can put your name there. God did not give me a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline or self-control. God did not give me a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And the verse before that says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. So let's this week access the grace of God, the power of God to fan into flame the gift of God that is in us. Yeah. We pray that the word today has really encouraged you, built you up, inspired you, spoken right into your situation. If you've got questions to anything that you've heard, or you'd like someone to talk to or to pray with you, then do contact us on our website, www.kingdomfaithlondon.com.